session number 24691, Reel 2.
Mr. MacDonald, Reel 2. You tell me that you have to mention the fact that you were very keen on your sport.
Yes.
And you got plenty of opportunities.
Yes.
Did playing for the sporting teams, did that get you off duties that you might have had to do if you didn't?
When I was a child, it did. I was always in whites. I was always getting wrong for that.
And at what point did you start playing, you know, for the company teams or what have you?
Well, I first started playing for the battalion when I was 16. Well, we went to China, where me and the Colonel, Kirby, we played for the Shanghai Select.
And that's cricket, is it?
Yeah. See, combined services. In them days, there was no Air Force, you see, just the Navy and us. Well, in Shanghai at that time, all the big stuff used to come in there, Rodney, the Nelson, the Hood, and all them. And they also had their midshipmen and people, and most of them had got Heaton and Harrow and all that, you know what I mean? But when we got into playing cricket with them, I used to open with the old man, you know, and they used to push me in front of the queue for the grub and all that, and they took me like a lord, honestly. Honestly, I thought they'd been just the opposite, but they weren't. Very, very friendly they were.
How long were you at Catrick?
I think it was about 2 years, I'm not certain. I know we left Blacktown in the October 37 to go to China.
So you were at Catrick 2 years. That would take you to 1934. Was it at that point that you went to Newcastle?
I didn't go to Newcastle until 1936 when I was 18.
And you were at Catrick up till then, were you?
No. We were in Catrick for about 2 to 3 years. And then from there we were sent to Blackdown. We were in Dettingen Barracks in Blackdown.
What was it like down there?
We weren't very far from London there, see? So we used to have a special bus. They used to say through the Union Jack Club in London. And a lot of them used to go through there and have a weekend in the Union Jack Club. I don't think I ever got there because I was too young, but I wouldn't let you out. I'm very young, right? So anyway, you see, but I say most of the lads, not the boys, but the men, used to get into London on this passion wagon, they used to call it. Anyway, you see. And it used to go for the weekend and come back again, you see.
Did you lose men to the 2nd Battalion with the drafts moving?
Yes. We was not of our boys were sent. Oh, there's 2 or 3 photographs from there. Were posted in the 2nd Battalion.
And they were abroad at the time, were they?
India. They were in India. You see, in them days, you see, every regiment had 2 battalions. One was in England and one was overseas. Each battalion had to do 21 years service overseas. And every individual had to do 6. You see? And that's what happened to us when we had to call it the Khartoum, because that was their last port of call. So they did the year in Shanghai, like it was 2 in, and the rest was in India. And then the last year was in Khartoum, in Sudan. See?
We'll come to that, of course. Now, you were down in Blackdown.
Yeah.
And you'd be 16 then.
Yeah, about that, aye.
What role did bandsmen play in the battalion if it was going into action? What was their...
Stretcher bearers and intelligence. You see, we got to it. When we first went to Mersmature, well, you see... They had a plot there. We had 3 to it, pot, pan, and kettle, you know what I mean? Different. They were laying mines and all that. Now, we had big sketch maps of all them areas where mines were laid. Because, I mean, I didn't give a boy what anybody says. You never do without mines. Once you dig in, the first thing you lay is mines. And whether you say it today, you still do it today, and they always will do. Well, we used to have to make plot the minefields and all things like that. You see, stretcher bears, well, we weren't needed until. Because towards the back end in the desert there, every man used to wear indicated shoes. Used to have 2 pockets. One was your emergency ration, that bloody chocolate stuff, crap, I don't know what it was. Because we got it when we went the doors were opened it out. And the other was your field dressing. Now, on no account were you allowed to use that on anybody else other than yourself. We used to have to twist people over and things like that. to take the food ration out to treat them by the word. But the only time that we ever went into stretcher bears, where we went into Fort Capitol, we got badly beaten up there.
Well, but again, we'll come to that because it's well ahead. But you were what was your task a stretcher bearer at this point in time? If action came, if
yeah.
So you weren't on the intelligence side; you're on the stretcher bearer side.
Well, both most of the time, you see, the stretcher bearers were already called to the war service. But on the other thing, you were taught map reading, the compass wheel, and all that. We had to be proficient, really proficient at that. You know what I mean?
And were you taught first aid as a stretcher bearer?
Why, yes. Minor first aid, you know. Yeah, we were taught first aid and took the patella, the kneecap and all of the names of all the things and all that, you know.
The body,
yeah. Of the body, yeah.
Well, when you say minor first aid, what could you deal with as a stretcher bearer? What kind of injury or wound?
Oh, not much. Just try and stop the bleeding or something like that. There's not much you could do. I mean, in most cases, we know how to stop what you call it by putting a stone or something like that. But we had these big, what you call it, dressings when we did really go in.
Shell dressings, are these?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And they were for the larger wounds, you see. But in most cases, our blokes were too far gone to use them on them.
Did the teacher do injections?
No, nothing like that. To be very honest, all the time in the desert, I never saw anybody from anywhere like that. We used to just take them back to the RHQ, and we never saw anybody, nurses or nothing like that. The only nurses I've ever seen, I think, was in Cairo or somewhere like that.
So presumably you would work from the regimental aid post?
Yeah.
Wherever you were?
Yeah.
Now, to come back to the two or three years you were in Blackdown, it was that kind of time, was it, 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, we were there for about 2 or 3 years, year or two.
And you were coming up to 18 then?
Yes.
And presumably then you were a mature soldier at 18,
is that right? Yeah.
And is this the time when you came up to Newcastle?
Yes. I came up to, I was 18 on the 29th of August, 36, and then when I was about the October, I was sent up to Newcastle to do my mountains training.
And what training did you get there?
Small arms, the Lewis, got out of you, and the arms drill and foot drill. Well, you see, it was a farce because the only one thing I wanted to do there was the Lewis. Anyway, as I say, you see, I used to show all the lads the bull, you know what I mean? We used to do the magic circles and all that, you know what I mean? The spoon over there doing all that crap. And out there, dip you, get all the brown out there, because we had big army boots, used to be brown, didn't they? And we used to dip them in the bucket, urinal buckets, and or spud, raw spud, or things like that. And we had all the doors up, and I was showing them how to do them all, you see? And when this sergeant, the boy come around and says, "Hey, you've been doing all these." Oh, he says, Oh, he said, "Oh, no, it's all right, get it." See, well, they got it off easy then, you see. Backs and fronts of all grasses and all that would be shot. And we should show them, how you got them button to us, how you got round the back of them and all that.
And this was the trick of the trade, of getting the quality thing.
Well, I mean, it was with doing it that many times, the boy, I'm a boy service, you know what I mean? You should let your kit out, you see. And if somebody come round and didn't like it, you know, at least you took away on the bloody tour floor and you had to put it back again, you know what I mean?
And how often was there a kit inspection?
About once a month. But when we were in Newcastle here, there was a bit every other week. They didn't touch mine, like, but they were touched again by these young boys, and he was all in the bloody key all over his lance coat, like.
And this they did this quite deliberately, too?
Yeah.
Were they all like that when they inspected?
No. See, the likes of this large corporal, he only had about 3 years servicing or something, he'd been banged up there. And the sergeant was an old bloke, oldest bloke, about his last year or something like that. But it was the younger one that was doing all the doings, you see. But as I say, I was showing all that, and so they didn't get much back very often, you see, so it saved them a lot of bother.
Do you remember the names of these NCOs?
No.
But when you did your foot drill, was it light infantry pace from the very beginning?
Yes, straight from day one, yeah.
It must have been pretty tough.
You had to move. Yes. Yeah.
And in effect, you were getting basic infantry drill
at this point. Yeah, light infantry drill, our drill, yeah. Exactly the same as we were doing for the big parades when we had Blackdown and Catterick.
Did that include route marches?
Oh, I always do route marches. Yeah.
What kind of distances were you travelling over?
Oh, well, we had a big scheme one time. Where was it now? We went with the guards and all that lot, because they weren't very far away at Purbright. Where was it? Some big valley there. Crimson Valley or something. There's a big area for train, it was. Plenty of cover, plenty of, you know, broken ground and all that, and we said all their noises on that, you know what I mean? And we were nearly always the enemy. But anyway, with the guards and people like that, you know, and we also could be sent on to Bisley with the, when they were firing the courses there, these big noises and all that, you know what I mean? We were always the bookmarkers in the butch, you know what I mean? Yeah.
And the weapons that you're being trained on would be the rifle.
303.
What was it like as a weapon?
I didn't find it any. I found it pretty good. Only trouble was you had a little kick on it when you were.
Your recoil.
Your recoil. When you were young, like, didn't I give you a kick? But even during the war in those, we never got another rifle other than that. We got this then, and we were armed with a Thompson submachine gun.
Yeah, but you start with a Lewis gun, you were saying?
Yes.
What was that like as a weapon?
Oh, that's quite accurate, yeah.
Did it have any faults at all?
Oh, it's getting jammed a lot, you know what I mean? But it had a pan on the top, you know, like the Lewis. But it often usually gets stick, you know, and, you know.
How proficient did you become as a marksman?
Our best marksman was the Hawk. He proved that, believe me. He was a good shot, the Hawk. Anyway, the thing about it was, no, we didn't have to be in it, since as long as we could fire and all that, they didn't bother, you see.
What was the accommodation like at Fenham?
Oh, just the same as it was in Durham, just ordinary barracks.
Was it much more regimental for you now?
Oh, in there it was. Yes, in there it was, because I mean, I'll tell you one instance I had. You see, when I was down at Catterick, I'd only been in the army about a year or two, when I got this big cyst on my arm, and I was sent into the Catterick General Hospital. Well, at that time, all the nurses were the army's doing it. They had to stand to attention to them and all sorts of things. And he's standing, they put me in bed, you know. Who's that rollick around the spare place? And God.
Was very regimental in hospital.
They were. When he passed them in the joint, he didn't salute them. But he got reported to the work for not saluting them. But it was laughable, really, honestly. Yeah, spooky. But when he said, how old are you, son? 16. 16? Captain, oh God, Captain, you know, God, they're all in the red, big red doors, you know.
And the Queen Anne's nursing.
God, how bullets were.
And the hospital treatment itself in those days, was it still good, despite of the regimentation?
God was good either. There's no doors, it's just a bull. Once you get up, first thing you do, polish your. The surrounds of your bed, everything had to be pulled out to his head. Oh, it's stuff all over the bloody place. He's really nice.
What did the civilian population think of the regular army in peacetime, pre-war?
Not much. As I told you, the first recommendation we've ever got of Wake Up is that thing from Shanghai. All the time. Previous to that, Well, maybe, I don't know if you remember, but there was a big MP, what do they call her? Astor, Lady Astor. Beware the man with a V-shaped neck, you know? Because she had a, I think one of her daughters was put in the family way by a soldier or something in India. Anyway, but that was a, hey, and they used to look the other way when we were in the first off. But once the flood started, and they needed us then. Once we were needed, we were heroes. When we weren't needed, we were. But the annoying thing about it is, I've got a fixture list there, the football and all that. We used to play against all these big teams especially in Northshire, Tianjin. But down at, even in Shanghai, we used to play hockey against the Indians and all that, and they're brilliant hockey players, you know that in Hong Kong. Oh, but in a, very, very good. No, but English, no. They didn't want to know you. I don't know if we were on the Kowloon side or Wetcourt side, but even with...
So the natives in these countries and Hong Kong that you went to were fine with you, but the English weren't, the civilian English weren't?
Oh, you know, they were very standoffish, like. We see these, the tutors like them, the ones with the fur coats, you know, Kowloon area, in that area.
About the people of Newcastle when you were in Fenham, were they the same way? Did they treat you that way?
No. We were never treated like that in England. But once we got into, especially Shanghai, the floods, once they needed us, it was a different tale altogether.
How long were you in Fenham Barracks?
About 4 months, I think.
Where did you go to after that?
Back to Blackdown, back to the band.
Now you'd had your basic training then, so you went back to your band.
Back to the band.
What kind of ceremonies was the band involved in a year, say, with the battalion? What particular parades did you have when the band was playing?
At Blackdown, just ordinary, we used to have an RSM parade, Adjutant's parade, CO's parade, and then a big noise used to come through from somewhere in that rain, and a big ceremony for him. But that's like for them, you see. And once we got abroad, we were ambassadors and all that bloody stuff.
Did you have November the 11th, Armistice Day?
And St George's Day. They're very strict on St George's Day. We had the, I think everybody had a, used to be red roses all over. We never had them, like the officers used to wear them in there. Something like the Northumberland Fusiliers and the Appaloons.
Was in command day a regimental?
In command day, 5th, party day, November the 5th. Yeah, we used to have to learn all that bloody regimental history and doing it. There was, you know, all the in command day, all the battle honours of the Crimean War.
You're taught that as part of the regimental history?
In the school.
In the school.
The school, yeah.
And at this time, what were you playing in Blackdown? Which instrument were you playing there?
Cornet.
You're still on the cornet?
Oh, I might have been on the bugles, no. They used to bang in the bugles if they were shorter, see.
Can you tell me the various calls that the bugles have to be?
Oh, aye. Well, you see it, Rivali, then Rouse. That's that second one they play on the duets. Then you used to get to mess calls for the officers, and then there was a ordinary corporal, ordinary sergeants, you know, and I don't say mess calls, 9:30, and then the last post.
And was it a duty bugler that would play those on one particular day?
Yeah, we had one. Every morning, a bugler went on from about, I think it took over about 9 o'clock in the morning till about 9 o'clock the next morning.
And in the band, did you have to do guards and pickets?
We didn't do many of them, right, but we did them. Yeah. Yeah.
So the standard of uniform must have been pretty high. You must have kept yourself particularly clean.
Oh, aye. Yes, very clean. Yes.
And inspected, of course.
Oh, aye.
Did, Did you have a special ceremonial uniform as a bandsman?
Yes.
What was that?
Yeah, we had the red tunic. I think we were doing the red tunic. Red. Yeah.
And that was given to you by the army?
Yeah, wasn't given to you, was it? But see, we also, when we were in England here, we used to tour such places as Torquay or Bognor Ridge, I think we weren't there or not. In the big bandstands, playing the big bandstands. Well, you see, I think I just turned 18, and they decided that they couldn't afford to have. What happened was, you see, that all of them used to travel in the bus with their instruments, and they says, "All right, I'll tell you what we do. We get MacDonald on a course to learn to drive a 1500 weight truck, and he can take the bloody instruments on behind." That's what I got. Anyway, I got taught, passed me test, only had a bit, 78, on this 1500 weight truck. And all the instruments used to be put on that, and I used to have to follow the bloody doings. But I got tricked the same as them when we got there, right? But, yeah, and they used to play in it, as I say, at Torquay, on a Sunday afternoon or Sunday morning, like, you know, you've seen these big bandstands, one here. I think we couldn't be one, I'm not sure. And they were in a Bognor Ridge, so no, that was a favourite one, I know.
Did you do recruitment drives?
No. We didn't. But, not to my knowledge. I think just after the war I did, but not before the war.
So, when then did you leave for abroad from Blackdown?
October.
What year was this?
37. Just after. The amusing thing about this, you see, earlier that year, it was King George VI's Jubilee,
Coronation.
Well, we weren't on it, but if you've interviewed them 16th or 9th of times, they were on it. They were on Primrose Hill in London. Well, so many of us were sent down there to look after it. I mean, and we were pinching all the butter and all that, anyway, flogging it. Anyway, but the thing about it was, we had to look after them, you know what I mean? And then...
You were supplying them with what?
We weren't supplying them, anyway. No. We were doing looking after them as regards laying out their meals, cooking their bloody meals and all that. And see, there was no regulars on the streets. And the whole Territorial Army did the line of the streets doings. But the annoying thing about it was, you see, that was the same year that some of them won, beat Preston 3-1. And when we got into the town, like, and everybody's looking at the big crowds from Sunderland and Newcastle, but we got flogged. He couldn't get stirred. And they put a big, what was that? Somebody did it in King's Cross Station, and he managed to get up, pinned it on the top of the bloody King's Cross Station. Oh, he got up there, God, man.
What was that that went up there?
The big rosette, Sunderland rosette.
Sunderland rosette.
Massive, wasn't it? Right in the middle of the bloody King's Cross Station.
How did you feel about going abroad?
Well, I was a little bun, because I was, you know what I mean? You see, when you're young like that, but I was happy to get back. But anyway, the thing about it was, that going abroad, well, I was cheering when I was playing No Land's End, and I was saying, thank God for that, let's get away from here. No, but, oh God.
Where did you sail from?
Southampton.
And you said there was a band to play you off?
We were playing it off. Oh. They played it. Aye.
What ship did you go abroad on? Do you remember its name?
Del Warren.
What was it like?
Submarine. It was more underwater. It was on top. We got so far up from Singapore and we hit the back end of a bloody typhoon. God, all the plates and cups were flying all over. We had ropes leading along to go down the doors. God, everything was a hell of a mess. We didn't have to get it. Smashed everything it did.
Where was your accommodation on the ship?
Oh, in the middle there, somewhere in hammocks.
Was it in the mess decks?
Yeah.
So we'd have the tables there as well?
That's right. Yes. They'll just hold us up the tables. That's what I say, when that doings got, all the pots and cups, everything was smashed.
Could you settle in a hammock, putting it up and getting into it and out of it?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't do too, too good, I can't remember. I can't remember being too good at it. I put mine on the bloody floor, I think. I lay on the floor. But most of them used to have a stick and used to put it across the top to open it up.
So, what about the meals on board ship? Were they any different from what you've been having on shore?
No, I don't think they were.
Was there a canteen on the boat?
I think there was, I'm not sure. But
it must have been pretty, there'd be a lot of you, presumably.
Oh, aye, yeah. Yeah.
And you managed pretty well, but it's a long journey.
Yeah. Well, what happened was, you see, that in them days there was no diesel and no refrigeration, so we had to pull into every port. And that's when people say to me, I've been to Bombay, Mac, aye. How long were you there? 24 hours. You're joking, are you? What happened was, you see, we left England, we couldn't pull into the jib because the Spanish Civil War was on. First port of call was Port Said. So, what happened was, and then we had to go to Sudan to pick up these lads with less than 6 years service overseas. They joined us and the others came out. Next port of call off that was Bombay, I think it was. We were only 48 hours in Bombay, so we could have a route march and you see, seeing the Taj Mahal and around there, you know what I mean? Come back, seen the Taj Mahal, don't worry, yeah. I've seen all the five wonders of the world, you know, pyramids and all. Anyway, the thing about it was, you see, then Singapore, you see, been in Singapore, 48 hours there we were, and we played football against the RA, the long range, but the ones who had the guns around the wrong way when the Doings came in, the Japs came in. Anyway, then from there, Hong Kong. Well, Hong Kong, we only stayed there a few hours because it's only a few miles from Shanghai. Then we landed in Shanghai.
What are your memories of the journey overall? I mean, you were going from a cold climate, in effect, into great heat. How did you cope with that?
Oh, I think we coped very well with it. I mean, I can't remember having any problems with it. But as I say, I mean, we were, each week we were getting up every now and again, and we were getting there, a rest, route march and things like that. Well, we got refueled because, I mean, we had to get wood and coal and all that because there was no, to as I say, and fresh fruit and all that.